Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. This is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show, Self-Expression. And I am your host tonight, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Okay, before we get started, we're going to be going over some scriptures tonight. And I just want you to take time out and get a pencil pen, because we're going to be going into a couple of scriptures. And before I do that, and while you're getting your pencil pen, I'm just going to welcome everybody here tonight for tonight's show. Whether you're calling online or you're listening via phone, I'd like to, thank you, welcome you for tonight's show. And as we start moving, tonight's topic is the test of being in the faith. Okay? So here we go. We're going to go over 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. We're going to go through 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. We're also going to go in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 6. We're going to go in 1 John chapter 3, 6 and 8. We're going to go in 3 and 9. And we're going to go cover Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Amen. So, tonight's figure is the test of being in the faith. And what I'm getting into is that, just because, you're a deacon, just because you're an usher, just because you have a position in church, or you have a position that you're fulfilling, does not mean that makes you saved, that makes you righteous. Okay, I just want to really separate, just what being in the faith is. That means you're being a church member, you're being a participant in church, but that doesn't have anything to do with your faith. You should always, at some point, just question and ask yourself, is my faith holding up? All right, and so we're going to go right into 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to go into verse 5. Okay, amen. And so let's get into it. All right, chapter 5, examine yourself to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, do you not know yourselves that Jesus the Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. And that's just right there. And let's go read verse 6. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Amen. So, when I spoke earlier, when I said because you have a position, because you're a deacon, because you're in a choir, because you're an usher, you have to examine yourself. Are you just filling a position, and you think that through that position alone that gives you, or that you're right there, that you have, the right to say, hey, I'm saved, but it's all about your faith. Where is your faith? Where is your faith level? Do you think because when you go, you're a deacon, or you fill a position, that right there, that automatically qualifies you as being faithful, keeping your faith? So I want to go into real quickly and just get into real quickly the subject of what do you believe? You know, and we're going to go into 1 John 5 through 7. And so we're not going that far. So we can just real quickly go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Amen. All right. And 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so clearly right there, you know, if we walk in the light and, you know, and it lets us know that through there. And, you know, just to real quickly mention, I'm reading from the New King James Version, so that way we can be all in sync. So now, what does that mean? Now, this means that, you know, basically from his life, from birth to death and burial, that is, you know, when he died and he was buried, you know, along with him, our sins were buried with him. So when he came back to life, and our sins was buried when he was buried. If we truly were walking in the light, you know, as it says, you know, what are we practicing now? Are we practicing that, you know, hey, okay, so we're saved, our work is done. There's nothing else to do. You don't have to go through any kind of perseverance or anything like that, or in that nature. So, what did you learn from all this? What are you practicing every day? What do you do every day? You know, are you supposed to be, you know, talking to that person that you're not supposed to be talking to? Are you, you know, just, you know, looking, you know, just looking at, you know, what we do in our everyday life, is it truly what we're supposed to be doing? You know, and what I'm basically saying is, basically, when we are from Monday to Saturday, are we just playing a part of being saved? Are we playing a part of being saved? You know, what we normally do every day in our life, do we do that when we come to the sanctuary on Sunday? You know, if you really take, you know, what you learn and your faith, you know, every day we should be living and breathing in as if Jesus is sitting right next to us. When you're at work or when you're at home from Monday to Saturday, you know, are you smoking that joint? Are you looking at something that you're not supposed to? Or even at work where it's highly stressful, are you cussing people out? You think Jesus wants to stand by next to you while you're doing all these things? Well, that's why I wanted to, you know, let you know when you're testing, you're testing your faith. You know, it's very challenging, and I understand how it is every day. Through our everyday life, how we want to be, or we want to carry on that saved, you know, that saved feeling. But when we go to walk, you know, our walks in everyday life and through our everyday jobs, are we really challenging and testing our faith? When we have that coworker that is very challenging, or just very, you know, very Are we practicing our, you know, our Christian, you know, beliefs? Are we really trying to, you know, say to that person, hey, brother, have faith. You know, it's not that serious. We're not doing heart surgery here. You know, let's just figure this out. We have to have that everyday Christian attitude, that everyday fellowship that we have. You know, it's you know, I know some people are frustrated and everybody does not mix and match, you know, through everyday life. But that's a part of us taking our time out and having perseverance and to say, hey, listen, I know you're not where I'm at or I'm not where you're at. But let's try to figure somewhere in the middle where we can coexist, when we don't have to be combative. We won't have to have that, you know, that negative vibe. You know, when it says we're in the light, you know, light and darkness can't exist in the same place. It's either light or it's either dark. And so you can't have that same combative spirit, you know, when we're dealing with things. You know, if we're in a dark mood, you know, our responses are going to be in a dark mood. So I want to go ahead and just go into to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 6, and they're not too far apart. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. 3 and 6. See if I got that right. Yep. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. So we're in chapter 2. Now by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and that the truth is not in him. But whosoever keep his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. Amen. So, you know, as I was just like I was saying, you know, when we are in our everyday lives, you know, and if we practice what we preach, we should be just as he is. We should continue our walk, you know, every day as if, you know, it is all one smooth, continuous motion where from Monday through Saturday and through the Sunday, you know, we're walking in into the sanctuary the same way we left out. And it should carry us through, you know, and as I was saying, through the fellowship. And when you fellowship, you know, it doesn't have to be with another church member. You know, we are all should be extension of the church, you know, when we leave the church. You know, we should have that attitude that we're our extension of the church and we leave here. And when we leave the sanctuary and as we go on to our everyday life, and I know, you know, everything is, you know, on different levels as far as, you know, stressful. Like I was saying, we're actually, like, when we leave the sanctuary, we should actually be behaving as if, you know, we're just an extension of that church. And that goes from where you leave the sanctuary, where you go home. And I know some people say, well, everybody in my household don't go, you know, don't participate in church or whatever. Well, whatever the situation is in your household, when you come back from the sanctuary, if you have the attitude of I am extension of the sanctuary and what we went over in the sanctuary, we're going to go over it in our house now. And from there, wherever I go, you know, I'm going to carry out what we learned, what I learned in the sanctuary, and I'm going to pass it on, and I'm going to fellowship with my fellow brethren, everybody that I come in contact with. You know, so easy for a lot of people to, you know, pick up on attitudes, pick up on, you know, different vibes, especially when you walk out the sanctuary. When you walk out the sanctuary, you're tested the very moment you step your foot out. It's going to be somebody who's going to be asking you for a dollar. It's going to be somebody just walking by cussing. But, you know, what do you do? What do? You be ready to accept the challenge. Because when we're walking out the sanctuary, we're relaxed. We're fine. The moment we step out the sanctuary is the moment that we are challenged. We're going to be constantly challenged until we step back into the sanctuary. And it's so more prevalent now with the COVID-19 where there is not a physical sanctuary. So even right now, if you are participants in a virtual sanctuary, it is more so evident. And it's also, it should be a little easier for when that last moment and that, you know, that connectivity that we, you know, that we have with the sanctuary and our fellowship that we have, that it should be easier to go right in and convert, you know, everything, and, you know, with everybody, that, you know, everything that we've learned. Because I'm going to tell you something, every day in life, you know, when we are always going to be going through a life lesson, we're always going to say, oh, or even if something that we have always revisited, when we revisit it again, sometimes we may learn something. And that's the great thing about fellowship. When we learn something. And sometimes there are times that we misinterpret scriptures. And we misinterpret these scriptures. You know, sometimes it might be somebody right there that say, hey, you know what? You almost got it quite right. Or, you know what? This is the way I saw the scripture or something like that. When we go through, our fellowship and we talk about, you know, different things and we actually conversing with one another and we're actually just, you know, just letting, you know, someone know, hey, this is how I see it. Or, you know, and then, like I said, when we come to that common ground and we get that understanding, or we can just actually, for one chance, just, you know, have a look at what someone else sees. Maybe we may get it, maybe we don't get it. But the whole thing is, this is what, fellowship is about. You know, and when we actually think about, you know, unwinding and relaxing, you know, sometimes we really have to think about what we actually doing, you know, and especially when we're in this COVID-19, where, you know, the only options for entertainment sometimes is, you know, Netflix and things like that. But don't forget that we know that we're looking at things that are not part of reality, but can become part of reality. And also we have to make sure that we don't unprogram, you know, our mind from the meditation of Christ. And what I'm saying is there's some things, there are a lot of movies, there are a lot of programs where there are so many different un-Christ-like things that happen during the course of a show or something that may be just put in as a pun, as a part of a plot, just to poison your mind. You know, that is very real. You know, what we watch and what we visually interpret, you know, very, very much can corrupt, you know, part of our faith. And as I said before, you know, light and dark can't occupy the same space. It just, you know, it can't. You can't serve more than one master. You know, we have to make sure that we understand that everything from, you know, from our visual perspective, we have total control over it. We're unique creatures. You know, when it comes down to, you know, being able to make choices of what we're doing. You know, we can choose whether to look at TV. We can choose how we look at TV. We got options of looking at TV with commercials, without commercials, any concept or any part, you can just cut out. And I know I sound like a negative Nancy, but if you really want to be, you know, continue in the faith and test, you know, being in the faith, we have to ask these challenging questions. We have to, you know, look ourselves up and down and saying, are we always constantly, you know, monitoring and looking at what we're doing? You know, and so I want to go to, you know, my next scripture, which is 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 and 8. And chapter 3, verses 6 and 8. Okay, here we go. All right. Wait a minute. Here we go. Just give me a moment to get there. We're on 1 John chapter 3, 6 and 8. Okay. All right, just hang tight with me because right now these words are kind of small and I'm trying to see what. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, here we go. All right, and everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawless. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whosoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Amen. And this is, you know, I was saying before, you know, and it pretty much is the same. Like sin, you know, either you're going to be a sinner and you're going to choose to change your life and not revert back to what you were. But it's, you know, basically you're going to be who you are now. And when we say are now, and I just want to stress this because in society we have a lot of things where, you know, we are justified by how society, you know, judges us. But we're not to be judged by society. We're supposed to be judged by God. And God alone, you know, and basically you're set, you know, basically if you're like him, you're free of sin. So you're set free from society, how society, you know, defines you, you know, so you no longer, you know, have to be a drug addict, a homosexual, a prostitute, or adulterer. You know, you're free. You're totally free. Now, I just want to let you know, like, right there, you're totally free of how society judges you. You're absolutely free. You don't have to worry about what or how society judges you. And this is where we, you know, where we are, where we're constantly being pulled, you know, from being sin-free to going back to our sinful ways. Because just because someone calls you something does not mean that's not what you are. That does not define you. You know, an alcoholic or a drug addict, you know, there's always going to be a pull no matter what your sin was or what your sinful ways did in the past. So it's like no matter where your challenge is, you know, there's always going to be that pull. One of the ways, you know, that, you know, I understand how AA and NA works, how they have this 12-step program. But one of the things that, you know, constantly how the drug addicts can place themselves in the past and say, I'm a drug addict and I always will be a drug addict. Or I'm alcoholic, I'm going to always be an alcoholic. But that's not true. Because if you cast away your these labels that society gives us, you can be free. You can be set free. But as long as we continue to fall into and let us go be categorized by society, we'll never break free of the vices and of the sinful ways or the sinful participation that we've been carrying on with. And it makes it so easy for us to fall back into it. If we keep keeping ourselves in these categories that society has made up for us to be in. You know, and even if, you know, say a prostitute. And just for just one instance, and you hear that she says, hey, I'm short on money for bills. What's the first thing you think that she's going to, you know, that you're going to think in your mind? Oh, she's going to go back to selling, you know, her body for money. But, you know, that's not, you know, and that person could be, you know, in a different, you know, frame of mind where, you know, we know that if, you know, we're categorizing, you know, and we're putting them in a box that it's so hard for them to get out. And that's being so unfair and so judgmental as a society. And we constantly do it every single time when, you know, people are crying out and they need, you know, more. You know, more help, more, you know, they need, you know, more of the moral support, more of the freedom of saying, hey, I'm no longer that person. But when you're being tested in your faith, you know, nothing like that should be able to shake you, and you know, nothing will, as long as, you know, you continue to be strong in your faith. And you know that you're going to be tested. You know, it is, you know, and, you know, it's a shame for when you see people constantly falling back, you know, into that, to that, their old ways, their old sinful ways. Because they kept themselves and they allow society to keep them in the category. And we reinforce that each and every day, which is, you know, something that we all have something to work on. You know? Just like someone that's, you know, that's begging for money, and they say, oh, he's a bum, he's always going to be a bum. It's little things like that where people, you know, like I said, they put us or they keep people in a box, and they label them with a label that they can't get rid of. And so we're going to go into right now to our next scripture, which is going to be 1 John chapter 3 and 9. So let me go to 1 John chapter 3 and 9. Okay. Well, actually, we just read 1 John. Okay, no, we're going to go to 9. Okay, sorry about that. All right, 1 John. Chapter 3, verses 9. Okay. Hard for me to read my handwriting. So we're already in 1 John chapter 3. So we're just going to go all the way down to 9. And so in verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Amen. And they're talking about Jesus. And so, you know, and really, you know, God is sinless. Anything about God, there is no sin. There is no sin at all. There is no kind of thought of participation in sin. So when, you know, as we, you know, when we get in, basically, you know, you cannot practice sin and be comfortable. Because as is God and, you know, Jesus, the Son of Man, he participates in no sin. And so if you are of God, think about participating in sin, you're not comfortable doing it because that is not natural. And like I said before, you know, we know what is right and what is from right and from wrong. We know that, you know, to keep the commandments. That's something that's like should be automatically set. It should be something that can't be done as Christians, or something that is not an option for us as far as breaking the commandments. You know, if we just, you know, think of it as there is no option as far as breaking the commandments, you know, that's how we stay within our faith, and by keeping the commandments, by doing, you know, what we say is the old fashioned or the Old Testament stuff. But the Old Testament stuff is very relevant right now today. You know, we still, you know, in a lot of ways with the Old Testament, you know, sometimes some things from the Old Testament, you know, is very relevant today as it was when it was written. You know, it's very relevant. And, you know, the only difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is that the New Testament, where we're getting actual testimonies from the apostles. And, you know, and speaking of the apostles, you know, Paul was very critical of the churches. You know, Paul was the one that actually sent the Corinthians, you know, straight. When he said, okay, you guys think you are holier than thou, and that you uphold the commandments, but the very people that you're supposed to save, you're becoming just like them. And we have to understand when we are actually, you know, out there having that holier-than-thou attitude, you know, just remember, you know, you don't want to become like the people that you're trying to save. If you're trying to save someone, you know, you full-heartedly, you know, you come at it with the whole armor of the Lord, and on top of that, you know, you want to make sure that by the time your conversation is over with who you're trying to convert, you want to make sure that they are in a better place than they were when you began. You know, I know it's very hard for, you know, someone, and this is how I'm going to just explain this scenario. Just say someone is sitting up there and he's drinking, drinking a 40, and you walk up to him and say, hey, give me a spin of that. And he's like, you know, you need to stop drinking this. Well, what about you? You just, you know, sat there and you just drinking it, you know, with him. You know, and I know people say, well, sometimes we have to reach them at their own level. But we have to understand that as us as being former sinners, you know, there's only, you know, so low that we can go. Especially if you're, you know, if you're a former alcoholic or you're a former drug addict, you know, you can't just sit up there and do drugs with somebody and say, hey, okay, now it's time for us to straighten up. No, you were already straight. And, you know, and now you're telling someone, okay, well, I can convert to Christ and you know, I can be sin-free, but when I need to go back, I can go back and do this. No. It's either, you know, you're done with it, you're finished, and from right there. Because there is something very important that, you know, that we all forget. And as a matter of fact, I'm gonna say it right now. You know, basically, you know, God is offering us. He's offering us a chance. And, you know, don't forget, you know, when Jesus, when he died, he was buried like everybody else in that time. And when he came back to life, when he died, he came back anew. So everything for our sins is still in that tomb. Our sins are buried. They're laid to rest. Coming back to life, that represents our new life when we're born again. So you know, so yes, we do get sort of a clean slate. But if we are walking in the faith, is it all worth throwing all that away? Because if we are really transformed beings like Christ, and don't forget that he's coming back again. And that's the reason why I asked you, when you leave the sanctuary and how you carry yourself from the Sabbath to the next Sabbath, are you walking like Jesus is right beside you? Are you? And so now I just want to go over, one more point, which is going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And then I'm going to ask yourself, how do you get along with others? And that's very important. And so I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. So let's go ahead and 1 John chapter 5, 7. No, actually, let me look at this. Okay, we'll go through 5, verses 7. All right, and so we're going to look for chapter 7, which is all, so tonight everything is just pretty much really close by, so we can just flip a page and pretty much, we're there. So hold on, chapter 5, and we're going to go through verse 7. And verse 7 says, "For there are three that have bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one." Amen. 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 Wow. So that is great. That's great news. That is great news. So I want to go to 1 John chapter 2 and 9. So let me just go to 1 John chapter 2 and 9. And in that, here we go. 1 John chapter 2 and 9. Where are we? Right here. Okay. I should have got a Bible that has bigger words. That's okay. All right. Who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Amen? So, and this goes about getting along. When they say brother, they basically are really saying our fellow man, not just literally our brother. And they just, basically want to know, do you love your brother? Do you? We have to really determine do we love our brother. All right, so we're going to go to one of my other scriptures that I wanted to highlight tonight, which is 1 John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. So, 1 John chapter 3, 14 and 15. And I have it here. All right. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Amen. So, you know, basically we have to practice what we preach. You know, do we love our brother? You know, if we hate our brother, then we just basically liars. You know, we don't love him. You know, but if we do, you know, and basically is what I've been saying, you know, basically tonight, that light does not have any bearings of darkness in it at all. And we're going to real quickly go into the call of salvation. And after that, I'm going to wrap up everything. And we'll just, we'll go from there. Okay, so, you know, I know tonight, you know, is basically, I've, you know, challenge you, you know, testing your faith. But, you know, one of the ways that we, you know, can just get it started, where we just kick it off, where we can just say, hey, I really want a relationship with God. And the best way to do it is just to, you know, get on your knees and you can just pray. And you can say something something along the lines of, you know, what I'm going to say right now is like, Father God, I'm a sinner. I wish to change the sinful ways of my life. I wish to wake up anew. I wish to turn over a new leaf in life. I wish to have my sins washed away by you. And for you, I accept Jesus Christ in my life because you sacrificed him to die for my sins. And without him, I would be lost. And I truly thank the gift that you have given me of the acceptance of Christ in my life, for he has died for my sins. If you said something like that or something similar to that, or you can just, you know, find the words in your heart that you're honestly, you want to have that relationship with God, just say the words and then you're saved. You know, and the next thing, you know, you have to do is just, you know, admit it with your tongue and tell someone. You can call anyone. You can talk to someone personally. You can FaceTime someone, or you can let us know here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we just, you know, we thank you. And the next thing we suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. We know the sanctuaries are closed, but, you know, through, you know, Zoom, we have so many different participants in, you know, virtual churches where you can go and seek a fellowship with a church. And we gladly like to rejoice in hearing that you turn your life over to Christ. So real quickly, I'll do the announcements, and then I'll wrap things up. This is a Product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. We also would like to invite you to correspond with us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can also just give us a praise report. We gladly like to share the news. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. Don't forget to, you know, share with a friend or family member to let us know that we're on and that we are broadcasting. We broadcast almost each and every night that we're able to broadcast. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/. Simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can listen to that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We greatly appreciate that. And tomorrow evening, with God's blessing, we will be on at 9 p.m. And just note the time difference, 9 p.m. where we'll have peripheral visions. No, I'm sorry. We'll have peripheral visions with Antonia, with Sister Antonia Bax. So once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we will have peripheral visions with Sister Antonia Bax. All right. Let me just real quickly double check that if not, we should have Sister Antonia Bax for peripheral visions, and that would that definitely would be third Sunday, which she broadcasts on. So yes, well, God's will, God's blessing, will be joining us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for peripheral visions. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of my announcements. And we'll just get back to the program of what we were talking about. And basically, we're just want to know, you know, the test of being in the faith. You know, how do you test yourself that you're being in the faith? And basically, I've outlined, you know, some of the things, and real quickly I'll go over them. It's, you know, basically, is what do you believe? And you know, the second one is what do you practice? And the third one is how well do you get along with others? You know, and from there you can gauge, you know, just for those three questions, you know, the test of being in the faith. You know, we all, you know, have shortcomings, and, you know, and from time to time we do have people that, you know, they we could call backslide. But the whole thing is that, you know, we have to have our, you know, our mindset. We have to know where we at and where we sit with, you know, the overall picture of, you know, what is going on, and, you know, how can we determine if we really love the Lord? If we really love the Lord, you know, would we just be from just leaving the sanctuary to going home, you know, to cutting the food and just doing everything, you know? This is not, you know, and, you know, I know some people don't want to hear, you know, what I'm about to say, but this is not like any other religion. You know, this is what it is. It's either you are or you're not. Are you saved? Are you in your faith? Are you keeping the faith? And you have to ask yourself, are you? Because if we can't ask ourselves that question, and if we can't have an answer, we don't have a definitive answer, it's either yes or no. And if you're part of the one that says no, you know, we got some work to do. You know, and I totally understand that. Because basically, you know, sometimes it's time to just set the record straight and say, hey, are we or are we not? Are we keeping our faith? Are we saved? You know, and if you say no, or I don't know, or, you know, I'm in between, you know, we got some work to do. Because, you know, as you can see, you know, we are not holier than thou. There is no shortcuts. The only way to make the kingdom, there's only one road to the kingdom of heaven, and that's through Jesus. No other way. I don't mean, I don't want to sound, you know, corny or anything like that, but there's no shortcuts. There's no easier way. There's nobody on an usher board, or there's nobody in the choir that has a better or direct path of getting into heaven without going through Jesus. And, you know, if you're on a choir or usher board or whatever you're doing, you know, in the sanctuary, you know, that's just the added bonus of what you're doing, or that's either a part of your talent. You know, it's not a plus, you know, as far as getting into heaven. It's just simply not. So I just want to read our final chapter that we have tonight, which is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So let me go ahead over there. And here we go. Romans chapter 5. All right. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. So let me go ahead. And therein, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulations produce perseverance. And perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because we love, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. So basically, this is what we have been given, which is, you know, and I like how it just tells us about perseverance, you know, transfer to character and character to hope. And what it says is that just because we're hoping, that hope does not disappoint at all. It doesn't disappoint, you know, and just because of our love of God. And I just like it how it says the Holy Spirit was basically just given to us. And it was, and you know, just like anything else, you know, something that you earn through your faith is given to you. So the Holy Spirit is guaranteed to be given to us. So the purpose for tribulations is we get basically justified by our faith in God. And when God looks at you, you know, he looks at you when you're saved as if you've never sinned. You know, I know somebody out there saying, wow, thank God, thank Jesus. And you know, and I know that it's, you know, so hard for, you know, for us to, you know, move forward. And like I said, when, you know, we can't allow people to put us into a box. And when I say a box, is they can't define something that we did in our past where we can't, that we can't break away because of what or how they, you know, put us in that box as far as that stigma as being, you know, the former drug addict or the former alcoholic or the former prostitute or the former adulterer. You know, we can't allow ourselves to be, you know, stigmatized. You know, if we stay that way, even with using the word former, because it, right there is something that they constantly remind her of your past sins, not you and not God. Don't forget, God wiped that slate clean when you became saved. When you became saved, there is no more past. Don't forget this. Was the new beginning. This was the beginning of a new you. And, you know, with that, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I left, you know, with that and that positive note, because, you know, society has a lot of rules, but they cannot judge us. And, you know, with that being said, you know, I love, you know, doing this, and I'm happy to, you know, you know, some kind of guidance or some kind of help to somebody, especially, you know, a lot of people that as they go on and they can't seem to break away from the past, you know, I know it's hard because, you know, especially when people help you stay in, you know, that same situation, that same moment, and you just can't get away from it, you know, I just hope that, you know, you take, you know, heed to some of the points I was given, and even, you know, some people that are saved, I hope they have, you know, taken into consideration that, you know, we can't, you know, be held, you know, we can't be held, our past can't hold us back. You know, we have to always look forward to the future. We have to keep moving, and don't forget that, you know, God promised us, you know, this is what he promised us. You know, he promised us that, you know, if we only believe in him, that, you know, our past sins are forgiven, that we're new creatures. So I just want to just end that on that note. And like I said, I just can't wait for another, you know, 2 weeks from now where I'll continue on to come back with another episode, and we'll go from there. I'd like to thank Purpose Kingdom Network for allowing me to be on this network where there are a lot of great people that I work with, and I'm just happy to continue on with this ministry. With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone. Don't forget that, you can't love anyone else if you don't love yourself, and just make sure that it's important that you start off with loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, just make sure you drop everything and make sure you get to understand yourself. And the best way to do that is ask God. Just go straight to the Creator and say, God, what is my purpose? And I want to go ahead and, move forward and love myself so I can continue to love others. Remember that. And with that being said, I am going to be out of here. So with that, I'm going to just say peace. Ready? Good night.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Everyone is pinned down, I will not lose.
He saved me.